This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Jeremiah. Now, here's Pastor Sandy beginning in the book of Revelation chapter 18, then he'll continue into Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51 on this edition of Sandy Adams Radio.
Revelation 18 verse 15 reads, "The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment," perhaps radiation, "weeping and wailing and saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city, for in 1 hour,'" how does something get destroyed in 1 hour? "'such great riches came to nothing. All who traveled by ship stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning.'" What is like this great city? Notice the phrases, "in 1 hour, destruction comes. The smoke of her burning." Babylon will have a similar fate as Sodom. One day it will go up in smoke and in fire. Perhaps the city will be nuked. Some kind of conflagration will take place. You know, many Bible scholars believe that the future Babylon that gets smoked won't actually be the literal Babylon in Iraq, but it'll be a city that takes the pagan mantle, that becomes sort of Satan's headquarters on the earth. Perhaps Rome. Maybe even the United States. And yet, I believe it's possible that the historic city of Babylon may yet be rebuilt. It's interesting, before Saddam Hussein was deposed, 62 miles south of Baghdad, he was re-erecting the ancient ruins. Saddam Hussein had already built Nebuchadnezzar's palace. He had built the Marduk Gate. He had even plans to rebuild the Hanging Gardens and the Tower of Babel. It could be that a future leader resumed Saddam's project, and Babylon does one day rise from the ruins. Verse 41 tells us, "Behold, a people shall come from the north, and a great nation, and many kings shall be raised up from the ends of the earth." This sounds future. It sounds global. From all the earth. This could be speaking of the ancient coalition of the Medes and Persians and Elamites, but it does sound more global. It sounds like the final showdown at the end of the age. It says, "They shall hold the bow and the lance. They are cruel and shall not show mercy. Their voice shall roar like the sea. They shall ride on horses, set in array like a man for the battle against you, O daughter of Babylon. The king of Babylon has heard the report about them, and his hands grow feeble. Anguish has taken hold of him, pangs as of a woman in childbirth. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the floodplain of the Jordan against the dwelling place of the strong. But I will make them suddenly run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? Who will arraign me? And who is that shepherd who will withstand me? Therefore, the counsel of the Lord that he has taken against Babylon and his purposes that he has purposed are proposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he will make them their dwelling place desolate with them. At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth trembles and the cries heard among the nations." Chapter 51. "Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon, against those who dwell in Leb-Kamai, a destroying wind." This was a nickname for Babel. "And I will send winnowers to Babylon, who shall winnow her and empty her land," literally thresh her out. "For in the day of doom, they shall be against her all around. Against her, let the archer bend his bow and lift himself up against her in his armor. Do not spare her young men. Utterly destroy all her army. Thus the slain shall fall in the streets in the land of the Chaldeans, and those thrust through in her streets. For Israel is not forgotten, nor Judah by his God. The Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel." Even though Israel had sinned in the worst way, God had not forgotten or forsaken his people. In fact, he says, "Flee from the midst of Babylon, and everyone save his life. Do not be cut off in their iniquity. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He shall recompense her." Notice God is warning those who do business in Babylon to get out of Dodge before judgment falls. He's telling his people to leave Babylon. And on a practical level, this is why it's not really wise to hang out with people who are under God's judgment. When your buddy gets pulled over, if you're with him, there might be trouble for you. If your girlfriend gets busted and you're in the house with her when it happens, there's trouble for you. Here he's saying to the Jews, get out of Babylon. Judgment is coming down. Choose your friends wisely, in other words. Verse 7. Babylon was a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunk. The nations drank her wine. Therefore, the nations are deranged. Babylon had been a purveyor, a disseminator of paganism, of occult practice. And all the earth has been defiled and deranged because of her. God had used Babylon, but Babylon has suddenly fallen and been destroyed. Wail for her. Take balm for her pain. Perhaps she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go, everyone to his own country. For her judgment reaches to heaven and is lifted up to the skies. The Lord has revealed our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Make the arrows bright. Gather the shields. The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his plan is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. Now remember when Belshazzar brought out those temple vessels that night to mock God, God knew. God saw. And now he's taking vengeance for his temple. Set up the standard on the walls of Babylon. Make the guards strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes, for the Lord has both devised and done what he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon. O you who dwell by many waters, abundant in treasures, your end has come, the measure of your covetousness. The Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, surely I will fill you with men as with locusts. And remember, swarming locusts was another idiom for an invading army. And they shall lift up a shout against you. He has made the earth by his power. God has established the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heaven by his understanding. When he utters his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. It's not Mother Nature who causes it to rain and water the earth. It's Father God. Whereas the earth's idols are futile. Everyone is dull-hearted, without knowledge. Every metalsmith is put to shame by the carved image, for his molded image is falsehood, and there's no breath in them. They are futile, a work of errors. In the time of their punishment, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the maker of all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Idols are made, but God is the maker. Who do you want to trust in? Verse 20, you are my battle axe and weapons of war. For with you I will break the nation in pieces. With you I will destroy kingdoms. With you I will break in pieces the horse and its rider. With you I will break in pieces the chariot and its rider. With you I will break in pieces man and woman. With you I will break in pieces old and young. With you I will break in pieces the young man and the maiden. With you also I will break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With you I will break in pieces the farmer and his yoke of oxen. And with you I will break in pieces governors and rulers. Wow. Hey, God can pick up the pieces. God can take all the pieces of your broken heart. And if you humble yourself and give them to him, he can bring healing and help to your life. Or he can shatter into pieces the proud and the haughty. He does both. And I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea for all the evil they have done in Zion in your sight, says the Lord. Behold, I am against you, O destroying mountain. who destroys all the earth, says the Lord. And I will stretch out my hand against you, roll you down from the rocks, and make you a burnt mountain. They shall not take from you a stone for a corner nor a foundation, a stone for a foundation, but you shall be desolate forever, says the Lord. Now, a common practice in the Middle East was to build cities from the stones, or with the stones, from the ruins of other cities. They just go down the way, and they grab the stones and bring them up, and they use them to build a new city. In fact, modern Baghdad was actually built from the borrowed stones from ancient Babylon, 50 miles south. The rubble of ancient Babylon was actually used in the construction of several other cities. And yet here, Jeremiah speaks of a future fulfillment where the city will be so decimated that there'll be nothing left that they would want to use in new construction. Again, this is two judgments of Babylon that we have here in this passage. One in the historical, one still future. Verse 27, set up a banner in the land, blow the trumpet among the nations, prepare the nations against her, call the kingdoms together against her, Ararat and Mene and Ashkenaz, appoint a general against her, cause the horses to come up like the bristling locusts. Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes, its governors and all its rulers, all the land of his dominion. And the land will tremble in sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitant. The mighty men of Babylon have ceased fighting. They have remained in their strongholds. Their might has failed. They became like women. In other words, they became scared. They became frightened. Only in modern times are women sent into combat. In antiquity, girls were raised to be civil, to be gentle. It was the men that were sent out to fight. Today, that is changing. And I don't think it bodes well for either gender. What does it say about the men who won't fight? What does it say about the women who will? I mean, women need to be the fairer sex. Women need to be sheltered from the horrors and ravages of war. The fact that today we're sending women into combat, I think we've lost our minds. It's not that they're not capable. Of course, women are capable of doing anything that a man might do. But is it preferred? Is it something they would enjoy? Where are the men? Why don't the men rise up and want to take care of their wives and their daughters and make life easier for them, not harder for them? This is the attitude we should be taking. He says, they have burned her dwelling places. The bars of her gate are broken. The Greek historian Herodotus says that the night Babylon fell to the Medes and Persians, the gates of the city were not broken. In fact, they were left open, unlocked. We don't know how that happened. Either the gatekeepers were bribed, or maybe a special ops team unlocked them, or it could have been divine intervention. But the bars were unlocked. The fact, though, that Jeremiah here speaks of the bars being broken obviously speaks of a still future invasion. Verse 31, one runner will run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken on all sides. The passages are blocked, the reeds they have burned with fire, and the men of war are terrified. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor when it's time to thresh her, yet a little while, and the time of her harvest will come. And here the Jew in Zion speaks. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has devoured me. He has crushed me. He has made me an empty vessel. He has swallowed me up like a monster. He has filled his stomach with my delicacies. He has spit me out. Want to know where the phrase chewed up and spit out comes from? Let the violence done to me in my flesh be upon Babylon. The inhabitants of Zion will say, and my blood be upon the inhabitants of Chaldea. Jerusalem will say, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will plead your case and take vengeance for you. I will dry up your sea and make your springs dry. And that is exactly how ancient Babylon was conquered. her springs or the river was dried up so that the army could march in under the walls. He says, Babylon shall become a heap, a dwelling place for jackals, an astonishment and a hissing without an inhabitant. They shall roar together like lions. They shall growl like lions' whelps in their excitement. I will prepare their feasts. I will make them drunk that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, says the Lord. And it's as if the Lord is actually looking into Belshazzar's palace. History tells us that the Persian invaders poured into the city through the dried up riverbed while Belshazzar feasted and got drunk. And again, what we're seeing here are two invasions, but the prophet is seeing them lying under the tree. He's looking up into the limbs. And so he sees these two invasions, but the details are all kind of intertwined with each other, and only time and the Holy Spirit sorts things out. He sees the destruction of Babylon. That's what he sees, and that's what he records. And it's up to us now to discern the two destructions and the time frame between them. Verse 40. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams with male goats. Oh, how Shishak, which was a Hebrew code name for Babylon, is taken. Oh, how the praise of the whole earth is seized. How Babylon has become desolate among the nations. The sea has come up over Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of its waves. And again, as we've mentioned, a flooding sea is also a Hebrew idiom for an invading army. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land and a wilderness, a land where no one dwells, through which no son of man passes. I will punish Baal in Babylon, and I will bring out his mouth what he has swallowed, and the nation shall not stream to him anymore. Yes, the wall of Babylon shall fall. The conquering Babylonians had swallowed up the world's riches. But here God promises to retrieve them. He's going to cause Babylon to gag and cough up all that she's taken, all that she had stolen. It's interesting. Read Ezra chapter 1 and you'll learn that King Cyrus's first act was to empty the storehouse of Babylon and restore to the Jews the treasures that Babylon had stolen from their temple. You know, in one sense, Satan has swallowed or stolen treasures from your life. Perhaps talents, maybe time, maybe enthusiasm, maybe optimism. But if we put our trust in Jesus, he promises to retrieve and to restore those stolen treasures. Verse 45. My people, go out of the midst of her and let everyone deliver himself from the fierce anger of the Lord. And lest your heart faint and you fear for the rumor that will be heard in the land, a rumor will come 1 year, and after that, in another year, a rumor will come, and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, the days are coming that I will bring judgment on the carved images of Babylon. Her whole land shall be ashamed, and all her slain shall fall in her midst. Then the heavens and the earth and all that is in them shall sing joyously over Babylon, and the plunderer shall come to her from the north, says the Lord. This is similar to Revelation chapter 19. Just after Babylon in Revelation falls, she's burned, an Alleluia chorus erupts in heaven over the news of the fall of Babylon. We're told as Babylon has caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon the slain of all the earth shall fall. Apparently the future fall of Babylon that we read about in Revelation 17 through 19 will signal God's global judgment, the final judgment. Here we're told, all the earth shall fall. You who have escaped the sword, get away. Do not stand still. Remember the Lord afar off and let Jerusalem come to your mind. We are ashamed because we have heard reproach. Shame has covered our faces, for strangers have come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring judgment on her carved images, and throughout all her land the wounded shall groan. Though Babylon were to mount up to heaven, and though she were to fortify the height of her strength, yet from me plunderers would come to her, says the Lord. The sound of a cry comes from Babylon and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans because the Lord is plundering Babylon and silencing her loud voice. though her waves roar like great waters, and the noise of her voice is uttered, because the plunderer comes against her, against Babylon, and her mighty men are taken. You know, sometimes we get a little discouraged when we see injustice in the world. We wonder why God isn't doing anything. Trust me, He can. Trust me, He will. In His time and in His way. Every one of their bows is broken, for the Lord is the God of recompense. He will surely repay. And you got to think about this. Jeremiah trumpeting this judgment against Babylon would be like me pronouncing the fall of New York City. At the time, Babylon was at its peak. There were no clues here of any weakness. Yet God was planning. God was plotting. God was planning His payback. He is the God of recompense. God will settle all scores. He will pay back all debts. Each one of us will one day get what's coming to us. Did you know that? God is the God of recompense. You're going to get what's coming to you. Either the mercies that you have embraced in Christ Jesus, or if you choose to stand on your own, you'll be paid justice for your own sin. My suggestion is that you take Him up on the mercy and come to Jesus. In verse 57, Jeremiah brings the judgments to a close. And I will make drunk her princes and wise men, her governors, her deputies, and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, says the Lord, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire. The people will labor in vain, and the nations because of the fire, and they shall be weary. The word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Seraiah, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, when he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, to Babylon in the fourth year of his reign, and Seraiah was the quartermaster. This prophecy was actually taken to Babylon and read on the streets in Babylon. It was during an official visit made by Zedekiah around the year 593 BC. That's 54 years before the actual fall of Babylon when the Medes and Persians invaded and conquered the city. Verse 60. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that would come upon Babylon, all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Seraiah, when you arrive in Babylon and see it and read all these words, can you imagine reading these words on the streets in Babylon? Then you shall say, O Lord, you have spoken against this place to cut it off, so that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but it shall be desolate forever. Now it shall be, when you have finished reading this book, that you shall tie a stone to it and throw it out into the Euphrates. Then you shall say, thus Babylon shall sink and not rise, from the catastrophe that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Even the declaration of this prophecy on the streets and in the courts of Babylon was followed by some drama. Jeremiah told his servant to read the book, tie a stone to it, and then throw it into the middle of the Euphrates. Why? For the Lord says, Babylon shall sink and not rise.
Thank you for listening to Sandy Adams Radio with our pastor and teacher, Sandy Adams. This radio ministry is an outlet of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. We're blessed to be able to bring you the authentic Word of God. We hope today isn't the only day you've listened to Pastor Sandy's messages. If it is the first day you've heard him speak and you want to hear more, we have just the thing for you. All you have to do is head over to sandyadams.org and click on the teaching link found at the top of the page. That will get you started on your quest to listen to and enjoy more teachings just like this one. If you find yourself on the move, we want to draw your attention to our mobile app. This allows you to listen anytime and anywhere. Don't forget to check out our podcasts as well. If you're a native of the Atlanta area and you have no place to call your church home, come join us. Our doors are always open. We love to worship God together. Service times and directions can be found on our website, sandyadams.org. Do you have a prayer request or just need someone to talk to? We'd love to be that person for you. Call 770-736-2828 to connect with us. Once again, that's 770-736-2828. Be sure to tune in again. This has been Sandy Adams Radio.